AM 1160, WYLL.
What do you suppose piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room. You're
giving me a massive headache.
Teach your children well.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a parent.
And know they love.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa and True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Good afternoon, Chicago. Welcome to It Takes a Parent. This is your host, Betsy Hart, and we're going to have a lot of fun today. I am glad you are here with us. You can find out about the show or me or our sponsors, all that fun stuff at betsysblog.com. More on that in a little bit. I just want to tell you, first of all, you know what? I'm beginning to think that instead of it takes a parent to raise a child, it actually really takes more like an army, but we can talk about that. I've got a good friend in the studio with me today, Lynn Carlson, mom of 5 from Barrington. I thought, you know what? This is one of my favorite people in the whole world to have a conversation with. We talk, you know, sometimes once or even twice a day. Now, about 80% of the conversations, of course, we can't have on the air, but the 20% we can, I thought it'd be fun to have Lynn in here with me. Lynn, how long have we even known each other?
50, 60 years.
Yeah, it absolutely feels that way. So I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to have Lynn in studio with me, and we'll just kind of have some fun. I always like to bounce things off of her, so I thought, let's just do it in here. Friends, we got lots to talk about today. We're going to be talking a little bit about a new book that's out called The Feminine Mistake. And the author makes the point that stay-at-home moms are being foolish because they're throwing away that work experience that might come in later if there's a family tragedy or their husbands leave them. And that's something we're going to be getting to in a little bit. But first, we're going to be talking about putting the weight back into want, delayed gratification. And, you know, I was actually, this morning before I came in, and I was actually thinking about the book and thinking about how, you know, I'm glad I can kind of be a stay-at-home mom at least some of the time. And I was watching Olivia, of course, who's 5, out on the front step, and she and her little friend were having a hot chocolate stand, and then they also made chocolate kisses. But before the stand got set up, Olivia had me make a sign for her, and it said, kisses, 8 cents. So she's out in front of the house, and she's actually putting her stand together. It says kisses, 8 cents. And I know she means chocolate kisses, but there's nothing on the stand yet. So I've just got this little girl in shorts standing on sort of the front porch with a sign that says kisses, 8 cents. And one of the neighbors from down the street walked over, took the sign off and said, don't you think your daughter's selling out a little bit cheap here? And I realized would have been helpful to actually have the chocolate there at the time. On the other hand, I thought, you know what? It's a great thing that she's out there selling and making money, because this is a child with a lot of wants. Lynn, I was actually in Target the other day, and I walk in with Olivia, again, the 5-year-old, and within about 3 minutes, she's asked for, and I'm not making this up, a video camera, a regular camera, and something else. What did I tell you? Was it an iPod? It was something else.
Something outrageous.
Yeah, and she just acts like, you know, I'll just try this and see what I get. I mean, I'm guessing your kids never do that, though, right?
No, but if they did, I think I would look to the Rolling Stones for some guidance. I think breaking out into a tune
you can't always get what you want. I actually did that to my 8-year-old last week in Target. I'm not making that. I actually sang that to Madeline right in front of about 5 people.
Okay.
She was mortified.
The horror of their middle-aged women, mother, breaking out into tune publicly. Well, that would be just enough to make them pipe
back
down.
Off. Yeah. Well, you know, I'll try anything, because my kids are just full of I want, and the idea of them waiting, much less actually saying no, just seems unknown to my kids, and I like to think I'm actually pretty good at this, but I got some great ideas for how I can be a little bit more effective in that area. Of course, it may mean that I have to be a little bit better at waiting for things, but anyway, Susan Beecham writes in Putting the Weight Back into Want in Chicago Parent Magazine this month. And you can get to Susan Beecham on my website, betsysblog.com, and find out more about her. But Susan, she's the founder and CEO of Money Savvy Generation. We've put that link up. But Susan writes, children spent $3 billion online last year on web-based things like, you know, web fantasy world such as Club Penguin, which I do. Do your kids do that?
No.
Oh, that's right. You don't do video games at your house. My little ones do, even Club Penguin.
Is that like a Webkinz? Different.
I'm not sure. It's where you can go on and play little games and, you know, get involved in what's going on. But it costs about $5 a month, and you can buy little things on there, and the little girls can decorate their houses. It's real cute. But any event, so she writes that they're spending all this money on that. And then she talks about a very interesting experiment in, after she says, you know, this is, it's so important for kids to learn to wait, and interesting experiments that have been done on how productive and happy children who learn to wait are throughout their lives. And I want her to explain it because she'll do it better than I can. Susan, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Hi.
We're so glad you're here. You know, Lynn and I together have 9 kids, and they want a lot of stuff. And I thought that your article was just really interesting. It was in the Healthy Finances section. Tell me about the marshmallow experiment.
The marshmallow study is a great study that a lot of people have not yet heard about, and yet it happened a long time ago. I think it was in the 50s or the 60s at Stanford University. Here's what they did. They took 4-year-olds, mm-hmm. and they put a 4-year-old alone in a room, and the proctor who was conducting the experiment came in and said to this 4-year-old, kind of like your daughter, mm-hmm. your 5-year-old, Olivia, here's a marshmallow. You may have this right now, or if you wait about 15 minutes, you may have too. Mm-hmm. Well, they followed these children. It was a longitudinal study. They followed these children through age 18. And what they discovered is the kids who did not wait, who ate that marshmallow, who could not delay their gratification, even for the 15 minutes, those kids performed on average 210 points lower on their standardized tests.
Now, that is amazing. Are they saying that there's sort of a cause that if you're not a waiter, you're not going to be able to focus well and do your assignments, and that has impact, or is that a correlation?
It's if you are the kind of child who sees no benefit in waiting,
uh-huh.
and doesn't understand that to sit down and study rather than instantly gratify themselves by maybe going out to a party.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't see the long-term benefit of working hard and focusing and studying, that's the child that will inevitably perform less successfully, not only in school, but this study went on to conclude, they continued to follow these children. These children had, the kids who grabbed the marshmallows and mm-hmm. couldn't resist, mm-hmm. they had less successful job performance. They had less successful relationships. They had less successful marriages.
Well, let me jump in, though. Is the marshmallow trait, or whatever you want to call it, is that nature or nurture?
Well, the good news mm-hmm. was that we get them a certain way. I'm sure you're sitting there and you're thinking, which of your children would grab the marshmallow and which would... wait. And
yeah, I have one that I call Hermione because she literally reminds me to make dental appointments. She goes through my refrigerator and will throw out things that are past their sell-by date. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not what most kids her age do. She would be a waiter. I've got a couple others who wouldn't do well with that, would they, Lynn? Okay.
No, sure. Grabbers. Maddie's a grabber.
Yeah, Maddie's a grabber.
For all of us, myself included, who have one of each, the good news is this is the kind of behavior, the ability to delay gratification is the kind of behavior you can learn.
Okay.
So, yes, Mother Nature gives them to us a certain way. However, we also have the ability to nurture, to change that, to teach them certain skills that will help them learn the beauty of delaying their gratification.
Okay, Susan, I actually totally agree with that, but I would argue that more and more parents today don't teach that, and so we are creating little grabbers. So how do we change that dynamic? And why are parents so afraid today to just say no?
Well, you know, we're all afraid to say no to our children because so many of us think that if we do say no to our children, we're somehow going to suppress their self-esteem. We're somehow, you know, if we don't praise them for absolutely everything that they bring home, we have somehow put them in therapy.
But I'm not really worried about that, Susan. I got to tell you, you're talking to a couple of moms here who are not going down that path. But anyway, go ahead.
I really believe that we give our children a gift. We empower them when we teach them how to delay gratification.
Absolutely. So what do we do? Give me what are three main things we can do to help the grabbers become waiters?
First of all, we need to teach our children that there are four things that they can do with money. They can save, they can spend, they can donate, and they can invest.
Hmm.
I mean, there's a lot more a child can do with money than just spend. Most parents don't talk to their kids about it. Why? Because they feel funny about money themselves.
Interesting.
You know what? We're talking about basics here. We're not talking about very sophisticated investment techniques. We're talking about choice. And then, very quickly, on the heels of teaching them that there's more to do with money than just spend, teach your child to set goals for each of those money choices.
Hmm.
Have them sit down. If they're very young, have them sit down and draw a picture of what their goal is for the money that they're saving. A picture reminds a child and helps a child stay motivated, stay in the game when it comes to goals.
Now, it sounds like you're saying that this isn't just about money. I'm hearing that these are principles that can be applied to all kinds of wants in life, whether they be physical or emotional potentially or what have you.
Of course. The minute you put a goal or give a child a choice, that gets a child to do what? To stop and think. You know, you remember stop, drop, and roll?
Right.
This is stop, think, and choose.
Okay, so you get to, you know, saving, investing, donate, or spend, and you get them to sort of really work towards those goals.
Correct.
And then?
And then?
Then do you have a non-grabber? Then do you have a waiter?
Well, you're close. You know, success breeds success. A little bit of practice with those choices and setting those goals and actually realizing a few of them will teach a child that there is a payoff in putting the weight back in what. And that's what you want to accomplish with your children. You want to show them that just by making them wait doesn't mean they'll never realize it. Mm-hmm. So help them when they set their goals. Get in the game with them. Match them dime for dime. Encourage them, talk to them, understand their plan, help them realize their goals, because for every goal they realize, that's one more step towards their own independently setting a goal and realizing it on their own.
And learning to wait, and the good things do come to those who wait.
Absolutely.
Although, you know, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the ultimate answer is just, no, you're never going to get the phone in your room when you're 15. Susan, thank you so much for joining
us
today. It's been great. Friends, you can find out more about Susan. I'll have a link to her website. She's the CEO of Money Savvy Generation here in Chicago, and you can find out more about her at betsysblog.com. Susan, thanks so much for joining us on
thank
It Takes
you
a
very
Parent.
Much.
You know, I think what Susan said, she had some really great things to say. We could have gotten a little bit more into the piece she wrote, and she kind of touched on this, to tell them you'll match them dime for dime, let them make those choices. A lot of that is good stuff, but I don't know, Lynn, a lot of times my kids just aren't going to get what they want.
Well, you know, I think that's so true. I think let's forget about delayed gratification mm-hmm. for a moment and just talk about the real possibility of no gratification.
Yeah, I mean, can our kids live with that?
You won't get those marshmallows now. You won't get that new sports car now.
Well, Lenny, in your house, they'd never get marshmallows because you don't ever feed them marshmallows. My house, they'd probably eventually get the marshmallows. But
I think, Susan, with some of the studies with the marshmallows, to me, it almost seemed a little bit more like impulse control. Mm-hmm. That we're all born with a certain level of impulse control, but that we can teach the deeper character trait of delayed gratification. And I think that children learn that from having adults model it to them. I mean, do we have a sense of contentment with what we have? Can we fight materialism?
You know, I tell you, I really try to pay attention to that. And when I'm out with the kids in the store, to let them see, you know, no, you know what? I didn't come in here to buy, a scented candle. I came in here to buy your pajamas for this year, so that's what we're going to stick with, and maybe I can get that another time, maybe I can't. But then there's lots of times when I sort of give in because I do struggle with that, and I'm not sure my kids always see me modeling good things there, but I also think it's just so important sometimes to be able to tell them, like you said, you know, there's not going to be gratification here. You're never getting a phone in your
whether
room.
You can afford it or not. Maybe they're not getting a phone for other reasons. It's not always we can buy what we can afford. That's really not the total discussion that ought to occur before something is purchased.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sometimes we can afford it and you're still not going to get it. And then my kids will say, you can do this. They say, but it's my money. I'll say,
oh,
well,
yes, they do.
Yeah, but you're my child in my house, and I need to guide your decisions. And that comes back to what we've talked about before, which is sometimes, you know, children don't make good choices by making choices. They learn to make good choices by having choices made for them. Well, we're going to go to a break right now. Stay with us. This is Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. Come right back. We'll talk about women who work, and I'm not sure it's such a bad thing. Stay with us.
When your child says,
why do I need to learn this?
The truth is,
I don't understand it.
When your child says,
I don't like school.
The truth is,
everybody reads better than I do.
When your child says,
who cares about college?
The truth is,
I have bad grades.
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. During the month of April, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Plus, meet firsthand the teachers and tools that Huntington Learning Center uses to help each student succeed in school. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call 800-CAN-LEARN to make your appointment today. That's 800-CAN-LEARN. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Street. Mall.
Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee.
True North Mortgage, providing direction in residential financing.
From the beginning of my application inquiry through and beyond the closing, True North Mortgage was there with me, answering all my questions and concerns.
True North Mortgage, 30 years experience providing direction in residential financing.
They analyzed my particular life situation and provided me with a lending choice that made the most sense for me, giving me peace of mind well after the closing.
You don't want to regret your mortgage decision. It's a long-term commitment. True North Mortgage will give you direction and they'll help you save time and money by shopping for the most competitive rate for your lending needs. True North has access to 250 different national lenders, and for a limited time, True North will provide WYLL listeners with free appraisals. At closing, up to a $250 credit will be given to cover the appraisal fee. Call Gene or Leslie at 847-621-3800. That's 847-621-3800.
Welcome back, everybody, to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart. I'm Betsy Hart. I'm in studio this week with my good friend, Lynn Carlson. Together, we've got 9 kids and a whole lot of questions. So we're glad you're here on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. And you know what? We promised Mara in Chicago last week that we would announce her name on the air this week and that she needed to listen in for that. Mara was the winner of the great gift certificate from Mr. Nix. And you know what, Mara? It turns out we actually need some more information from you. So we're glad we asked you to listen in and you told us you would. You can give our studio a call now at 847-956-5042 and we'll get that piece of information we need so we can get that right out to you. And also want to announce the winner of last week's Betsy's Blog Contest. I got a couple of, many lovely comments about the show, some less lovely. But the winner goes to Maureen in D.C. She gets a signed copy of my book, It Takes a Parent. She actually listened to the show over my new webcast on my website, betsysblog.com. You can do the same. This week we'll put a webcast of the show up. Please listen. Tell us what you think. Give us your suggestions, your input, your insight. Would love to hear from you. You can talk to each other on the blog. And then you know what? I'm going to give the best comment, as deemed so by me, a signed copy of my book, It Takes a Parent. So we hope you'll go to betsysblog.com. So Lynn, I'm reading a book right now that I'm so conflicted about it in about so many different ways. And the title of the book is The Feminine Mistake by Leslie Bennett. And she's a feminist. And what she says is that conservative women, potentially, you know, Christian women, what have you, but stay-at-home moms, it's kind of our milieu, that these women have made a mistake because they leave the workforce. We've heard a lot about this, stay-at-home moms, you know, opt-out moms, high-powered women, educated, staying home to take care of their kids. And her point is, boy, when you opt out of that job market, you really put yourself at risk. Later on, if there's a family tragedy or your husband leaves you, whatever happens, you might be unprotected. And we do have more and more broken families, and she's worrying not so much about the issue of for a woman's own psychic well-being or what it does to her kids and all those issues involving work, but about a woman's financial well-being. And I know, you know, she talks about women who never dream that their husbands will leave them, and suddenly they end up in a situation they never thought they'd find themselves. And that's obviously exactly my situation. But I think even years before that happened, I would have had some mixed feelings about this in any event. I think she makes some great points about women needing to protect themselves. On the other hand, are we just kind of giving into a culture that says, you know, it's easy for families to break up. It's easy to lose sight of what's really important in a family. Are we, by giving our daughters a backup plan to provide for themselves, are we sort of caving into a transient culture?
Yeah. I would never say that any stay-at-home mom was making a mistake. However, it's hard to argue with Leslie. I mean, the fact that they're giving up future earning potential,
well,
that's very real.
Yeah. And
statistically provable.
Yeah. And obviously, you and I would say, you know what? We need to have laws in place that do protect the women who choose that, whether it's, you know, better divorce laws, there's no-fault divorce has been a disaster, etc. But the reality is, you know, we've got five girls. And I'm sort of saying, you know what, I want to make sure that they're in a position that whatever happens to them, they'll be able to provide for themselves. On the other hand, is that going to take away from some of their time with their children? And in fact, women who are professionals are actually more likely to get divorced. And is that because they can? Well, you know, if the man is an unrepentant adulterer or an abuser, I want them to be able to provide for themselves if that marriage ends or if they have to leave it for their safety. But I also don't want them to say, oh, gee, I can get a job and go out on my own and meet somebody else because I'm not being emotionally fulfilled. So I'll just go ahead and do that. It's a lot of catch-22s here.
Yeah, it's really a complicated issue. And certainly, I think we could even break the discussion down into two types of moms. Mm-hmm. Moms with small children and moms with children who go to school. You know, most of us with mothers of small children, certainly I would like my daughters to be able to, if they so desire, to stay at home with those young children and to raise them. But they are giving up earning potential.
Yeah, but I also think that in our economy, things have changed. And I think Leslie, you know, she's been attacked by conservative and stay-at-home moms. And I'm just not sure that's fair. I think to some extent we have to look at the realities.
Yeah, but it's not the world we want it to be, but it's the world that it is. I mean, the fact of the matter with divorces hovering around 50%, and if you look at the statistics on divorced mothers, it's the mother and the children 5 and 10 years down the road that do significantly are in a lower financial bracket than those husbands, because those husbands never left the workforce.
Yeah, so I just, again, I hate to cave into the culture, but Leslie also does seem to be presenting what I think is this false dichotomy that it's either or. And there is such a thing as pacing yourself and taking time out when the children are young and being smart about it. And she makes the point, you know what, don't let your husband say, I don't need to tell you about investments. You do need to know about investments. You do need to know about how to manage money. You do need to have the knowledge of those things in your life, whether or not you're the breadwinner. You can take some basic steps. Make sure everything is titled in both of your names. You know, all that good stuff. Not with the idea that your marriage is going to end, but your husband could become disabled. All sorts of things could happen where it's just smart for women, whether they're staying home or whether they've decided to go out and work, to just protect themselves. But you know what? Another thing that she doesn't really dwell on here, but I sometimes get frustrated because I do think there is this mythology of the stay-at-home mom in the sense of, since the beginning of time, women have just been spending 3 hours a day of floor time with little junior. You know, that is just not true. I mean, historically, women had bigger families. We were working hard. We were in the home, which I think is our primary calling. I think that's where most of us want to be. But you know what? We weren't dwelling on little junior so much that we put him on this pedestal. And I think some moms today are kind of creating monsters. And I hear these moms saying, oh, I've got these two kids and I can't go to the bathroom. And I'm thinking, why the heck not? Tell them to occupy themselves for half an hour. I think the idea that we can be in the home and telling little junior to keep himself busy just isn't something we hear that much today. And I fear that there's some stay-at-home moms who maybe could benefit from a part-time job or doing some volunteer work just so that their world doesn't revolve around little junior in a way that's not healthy. Am I crazy?
Well, I think that at-home moms are very, very busy. And I don't think they have much time to left to dote on Jimmy or Johnny. I don't think they become copter moms because they've got all this time.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have much time to much more time today. We can take this up another day because I see a lot of moms buying into this idea that it's somehow wrong to totally work. And, you know, work is not a bad thing in and of itself. I mean, work existed before the fall in the Garden of Eden. I think we can teach our children it's good and it has its place. You know, it's going to have its place in heaven, too. So I think we need to see it not as a necessary evil, but as a good thing and just using it rightly. And I wish we did have more time to talk today. I've been joined by my friend Lynn Carlson from Barrington in studio today. Great mom of five, often a lifesaver to me. And I'm delighted to have as our sponsors, as always, the Huntington Learning Centers of Lake Villa, True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights. Please do visit betsysblog.com. We're so glad you're with us today. And friends, remember Philippians 4:8 is our theme verse here on It Takes a Parent. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And we'll see you back next week at 2 on It Takes a Parent. Have a great week.
Hi, I'm Roger Plummer. Start your weekdays with the best national Christian program.